Man, God is good. I'm going to get some water first.
The children want to go back.
Yep. I'm dehydrated. I know, because I have a headache. That's the way your body tells you you need more water. You get a headache. Man, God is awesome. Let me start with that. I'm going to start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that every day is a new day. Thank you that every day we come and seek you, and you're there. You're seeking us. Your desire for us is great. Thank you that all the words that come out of my mouth today are your words and not my words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I've shared this with a few people, but So my dad was a philosopher, you know, type guy. He had really smart things to say, and I always thought, I'm very practical. God shows me things practically. My dad would say things that were very deep, and I'm just like, no, it's just simple like this. And what's fun is God uses everybody in different ways. If we were all the same, life would be very boring, and so we need all these different types of people. So, that being said, it was fun. God showed me something very simple this week that was profound. And it's like something I already knew, but it just kind of brought it into picture. Is the world is a pyramid, and there's a guy who thinks he's very special at the top, whoever that is, you know, I'm the best, whatever. And then there's all us plebes at the bottom, where God's whole design is just the opposite. God is at the bottom, blessing everybody all the way up to the top. There's God, and then there's his ministers, and then there, you know, there's deacons, and then there's just the lay people, and then there's just everybody else. Because God, I mean, if you have everything, you don't need anything. The guy in the worldview is at the top because he wants everything. He wants to be the most powerful, the most revered, the most worshipped. But God already says, I already have all that. I don't need any of that. I'm just the opposite. I'm here to bless you. You know, if you're a slave in man's terms, that means you have nothing. And if you're a slave in God's terms, that means you have everything. God said, seek me and I'll give you everything. God says, just give your life to me. Make yourself a slave to me. And not only will you not be a slave, I'll make you a son. Not only will you be sons and daughters of mine, I'm going to make you the bride to my son, and you will reign and rule with him in heaven. And that's the difference. You know, man is trying to keep Man is, it was funny because in the garden God said, rule over the plants and animals. And then within a short amount of time, man was already trying to rule over man. You're like, these animals are dumb. They don't do what you want. I can just get this guy. I can tell him what I want, and he has to do what I tell him because I'm ruling over him. And God's just the opposite. So it was just that picture of the triangle. You know, man's triangle is like this, and God's is upside down because God takes all the burden and gives us all the blessing. And that's awesome. And that's a fantastic picture of how precious we are. I'm seeing more and more how precious we are. It's funny because I had this thought as I was just reading some scripture the other day. I thought, and this is going to sound blasphemous. And I was like, are we equal to God? And that sounds like, in my mind, that sounds blasphemous. But if you read the scripture, if you read, you know, first of all, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit said, let's make man in our own image. So are we equal to God? No, we're not equal to God. But when a man gets married, he doesn't want to marry somebody who's beneath him. He wants to marry somebody who's equal to him, who can walk beside him. And so God made us in his image. And then I was reading through Philippians, and it talked about, this is not even what my sermon's about. This is just a little precursor. It's the very beginning. Let's see. I'll just start from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, this is Philippians 2, of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem one another, one better than themselves. And that's good. I mean, that's the true mark of a Christian, is when you're always trying to lift other people up. Why? Because why does God do it? Because He already has everything. God gave us everything. We can easily do it. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So this is the way Jesus treats us. So let this mind be in you, because that's the way Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So it's like, so Jesus is God, and if you keep reading in that, it talks about Jesus being equal with the Father, but now we're in Jesus. It's like, we don't deserve it, but He made us equal. We're not equal because we're special. We're equal because we're now in Him. He's in us, and we're in Him. And that's, we let the devil, I mean, that came up several times today. We let the devil tear us down and say, you know, you're not good enough, or you're not this or that. And it's like God says, you are holy, and you are righteous, and you are the bride of Christ. And so we need to stop selling ourselves short and letting the devil lie to us about who we are. God wants us to rule and reign with Him for eternity in heaven. And it's like, so hallelujah. All right, now I'm going to get to what I'm going to teach on. I'm actually going to be reading in John 5. It was interesting that Monty brought up the shepherd, because the first part of John 5 is the about the Pool of Bethesda, and it talks about the sheep gate. And it was funny, I kept looking these things up, trying to find some significance in it, and it was just knowledge. And I was like, oh, it was just the sheep gate. But it's funny, because Jesus did this, the miracle at the by the sheep gate. I mean, it says it here. I was looking up, and it talks about a party later, and I was like, well, where is this party? What festival was this? And it's funny, no scholars, if Dad were around, he would have figured out what festival it was. Not that it really matters, but it's like I think there was enough information to have figured this out, but people are like, well, we don't know. It's like, man, now I'm going to have to go find out from God. Not that it matters. Sorry, I'm just rambling. After these things, there were feasts of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem is a pool at the Sheep Gate, which is in the Hebrew, Bethesda. That means, Bethesda means house of mercy. I thought that was interesting. There's a church in Fort Worth called that. I just thought that's, I don't know how many of you have been to Israel, but I've been to that pool twice. And it's interesting. It's deep. It's very deep. It's kind of like scary deep, like probably 20 or 30 feet. And it's empty. So if you fell, you just go straight down. But it's interesting that it's called the house of mercy. Because that's it. I mean, we deserve death, and God didn't do it. You know, He gave us life. So, and it had five porches, and in these was a great multitude of infirm, lying, blind ones, and lame ones, and withered ones, awaiting the stirring of the water, for an angel, from time to time descended into the pool, and agitated the waters. Then the one first entering, after the agitation of the waters, became well, whatever disease he was held by. I didn't do this time, but last time I researched that a lot, and I've never kind of figured out whether this was a God thing or what this was. And a lot of people haven't; they don't know. I mean, I don't know why they don't fill it up again. Fill up that pool. Let's see what happens. It's there. We don't need it because Jesus is here. And, you know, He's our healer. Sorry, I've got a lot of things going through my mind. It's funny. I've said in the past, I read things very literally. And the more I get into the Word, God starts showing things to me spiritually, and that's kind of scary to me because literal is literal, and I can say, well, that's literal, and I understand it. But spiritual requires me to trust God that I'm not being a moron and just making things up in my head, because we as humans can easily just make things up. And it's interesting. Ron was talking, he was talking about all the different denominations, and he said there's about 50,000 registered denominations. So that means there's 50,000 different churches that have made up stuff and made an entire denomination out of that instead of just being believers. It's like, that's what we are. We're just believers. We should get rid of all the denominational stuff. That is so not, it was interesting. Jeff had been talking to me, and we had just been talking about other churches and other pastors, and I kind of balked at that. I didn't like that idea. And then I was talking to Dave, and it was funny because we have like a little enclave here, and we're just our church, and we don't let anybody else in because, you know, it's like they could be preaching heresy, so let's not even do that. But I started praying about it, and I'm like, well, I know my dad would visit with other pastors, and they would fellowship together, and I'm like, why am I so adverse to speaking with other pastors? And that's good. I mean, iron sharpens iron. We had a group here a couple weeks ago, and it was good. I mean, they had things to say, and it's, you know, it just makes you start to, I guess I'm going through so much right now spiritually, my mind is like, I don't know if you had that experience in your life when you hear something and it's like your world just goes and gets bigger, and then a couple weeks later you hear something else and your world just gets bigger, and it's like things just open up to you and you're like, how did I not see that before? And that's what happens when you start seeing things, you know, practically, and then you start seeing things spiritually. It's just like your world just opens up and you understand God's desire for you again. I'm going to try to bring all this together and have it make sense. Right now I'm just kind of talking. We're simple-minded, and we just see things simply, and God's like, no, I have all this. And I mean, it's the crazy thing is we're going to learn for all eternity, and God, there is no end to what we can learn about God. And it's like, because I always thought it's going to be boring when you get to heaven. I mean, you're just going to be there, and like, what do? Just sit around and worship God all the time? I mean, that does not sound, to a human, that does not sound exciting. You know, you want to go out and do. But, you know, the older I get and the more I spend time with God, I'm like, man, that sounds good. That sounds good. I mean, I have no idea what heaven's going to be like. If, you know, my dad always said, this earth is a taste of what heaven's going to be like. So, I mean, if all the good things and none of the bad things, it's going to be pretty exciting because there's a lot of good things to do here on earth. And if you just get rid of all the bad things, then hallelujah. A certain man was there, being in infirmity, 38 years. Seeing him lying and knowing that he had spent much time, Jesus said unto him, do you desire to become well? And the infirm one answered, it's funny, this is what we do as humans. Jesus asked him, do you want to be well? And immediately the guy just says, it starts making up excuses. It's like, a man just walked up and said, do you want to be well? And your answer should be yes. You know, but he's like, yeah, but I got all these problems, and I don't know. It's like, we do that. We make excuses. And it's like, no, God just, do you want to be well? The answer is yes. It's like, don't, you know, I mean, anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to keep reading, but it's funny to me. Do you desire to become well? And the infirm one answered him, Lord, I do not have a man that when the water is agitated, he may throw me into the pool. But while I am coming, another goes and down before me. And so it's like, he's not even seeing. It's just a question. And the man is focused on this thing that's either God or not God. We don't know what, you know, whether it was an angel of God or just something weird or what was going on. And he's focused on that and not on God. And Jesus said to him, the guy didn't have any faith. He just said, yeah, I want to be healed. Remember that. You know, most of the people that Jesus healed, they'd come up to him, they're like, Jesus, heal me. And this, he just walked up to this guy. Guy didn't have any faith. And he just said, you know, do you want to be healed? And Jesus said, take up you know, he was making complaints, and Jesus said, "Rise up, take up your cot, and walk." And instantly the man became well, and he took up his cot and walked. And again, he was so preoccupied with the fact that he was well, he didn't even, we don't know if he hugged him and ran off or what he did, but he didn't even, we're going to find out a little bit, he didn't even ask him his name. He's just like, "Hey, I'm healed, let's do this." And that's so human. It's like we're so focused on ourselves, we don't see what's going on around us. It's funny, I pray a lot about my eyes, and I'm like, "God, my eyes were good until I was 42, and then they went terrible, and now I have to wear glasses." And I'm like, I don't want that. It's like, and that's ridiculous. And it's funny because I was reading about Andrew, and Andrew, you know, Jesus was like, how can when things are falling apart and you can praise God, people will see that. And they're like, "Everything's falling apart." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I don't want that to be. I want my eyes to be good again." It's such a pain. I work all day with my eyes, and I'm taking them on and putting them off and taking them on. I'm like, wow. And I feel bad for people that have done that their entire life. And it's just, you know, been a couple years for me. So anyways, instantly the man became well and took up his cot and walked. And it was the Sabbath day. Therefore the Jews said to the one having been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to lift up your cot." It's like the guy was just healed, and they're worried about him carrying his cot on the Sabbath. It's like, how could you be so interested in your laws? I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking about, and my dad's talked about in the past, the difference between there's a law court and there's an equity court. There is no longer an equity court anymore, but there's equity. It's like, man, how could you be so blind? But it's like, but it's true because the law was their God. God wasn't their God. If God had been their God, that would not have been an issue. They wouldn't have said, "Hey, why are you breaking this law on the Sabbath?" They would have been like, "Man, God is good. God is good." It's funny. I've said this, but the Old Testament is full of the Jews being bad, and then every time they asked forgiveness, God immediately loved them again. And it's like how you have all that history. I got in an argument with a guy, and he was talking about the Bible, and he was talking about how it's all about God being evil and killing all these people and everything. And I'm like, no, it's about his grace and his mercy. If you can't see that, it's because you don't want to see that. It's like the whole, it's the only book in the world where they took all the bad things the people did and then showed God's mercy. Every other country in the world, when they write their history, they make it look good. It probably isn't the way it says it is. If you were to write a eulogy after somebody died, you don't write bad things about them. you write all the good things about them. You know, at a funeral, you don't, well, sometimes people get mad and they say bad things. But at funerals, you say all the good things that the person did. So culturally, when you write your history, you write all the good things. I have no idea what other countries say about, you know, the things that, you know, that we did, we know, we learned in history. Is it the same in other countries? I don't know. I don't know if they believe the same way. Maybe they, you know, I mean, I assume that all the countries that lost to us don't feel like that we're the good guys. I assume they feel that we're the bad guys because they lost, you know. But my dad would always say, the best thing a country could ever do is attack the United States. And the United States will destroy them and then rebuild their entire country. So, dumb. That was dumb. I don't know why I said that. So, and he answered them, "The one making me well, that one said to me, 'Lift up your cot and walk.'" And so he's just like, hey, I mean, the guy just healed me and he told me to do this. I'm like, but it's the Sabbath. He's like, yeah, but he just healed me. I'm going to go with his deal over your deal because you have this law and he showed me mercy. So I'm going to obey him. And then they asked him, well, who is this man who told you, lift up your cot and walk? Not who's the man who just healed you. They're still interested in the guy that They're like, who told you to break this law? It's like, no, he just healed me. I can walk. But he said, I don't know the one who cured him. For the crowd being in this place, Jesus had withdrawn. So it's just so weird. It's like, how are we? And the thing is you go, well, that's an idiot. But it's like, I'm that idiot. I'm that idiot that focuses on the dumb thing, missing the whole picture. It's like, that's why we have to seek God every day to get our mind straight, to know who we are, to see people as gifts of God, even the ones that are evil to us. They're a gift. You know, it's everything points us back to God. Everything good in our life and everything bad in our life points us to God, and we can go to Him and we can be full of joy. I mean, we were talking about God being better than the world. The world thinks it's exciting. Well, if I get God, then I can't go out and get drunk anymore. I'm like, really? How exciting is that? You wake up the next morning and you can't remember anything you did. I remember one time that I was painting a kitchen with oil-based paints, and I've never been high in my entire life, but I was high that day because I had locked up the kitchen. I'm like, I'm not letting any dust in here, and I'm painting away, and all of a sudden I see stars everywhere, and I had all these brilliant thoughts, and I couldn't remember a single one of them the next day. If that's what's exciting to you, you are missing it. Because if you need that for happiness, then you don't have happiness. Because happiness should be in you all the time. Should be in you every moment of every day. And it's actually not even happiness, it's joy. Because happiness is a misnomer. People are like, well, I need to be happy. No, you need to be joyful. Because you can be joyful in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of great things. It's like, we're always looking at the wrong thing. I mean, we're not, because we are all believers and we trust Jesus. But we can fall into that. And it's just like during Christmas when I was sick with the flu, I was so angry. I was so angry because every year I look forward to Christmas because I get 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off and nobody can bug me because it's Christmas and nobody wants me in their house during Christmas. So I'm like, great. And then somebody asked me to help him, and so I helped him. So that it was a week and a half that I ate up. And then I got the flu. And then my Christmas was ruined and I was mad at God. And then as soon as I was done with the flu, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And I'm like, couldn't you have told me that before? And I couldn't have spent 2 weeks being mad at you. I'm like, because that was dumb. I should have been listening to him. I know that scripture. That should have been easily on the forefront of my mind. And then I could have just, I don't know, I could have done much more than just being mad at God and trying to, you know, do whatever. Wasting time just because I was mad. Isn't that funny how we do that? You're like, somebody asks you to do something and you're mad at him, and so instead you just either do a bad job or you waste time and you just don't get to it just because you're mad at him. It's like, I could have just been doing things that God wanted me to do while I was incapacitated with the flu. I hope you guys are finding this funny. I think humans are very funny. Not funny, haha, but just like... It's like how dumb we are, how precious God is. And the funny thing is He loves us. He loves us just the way we are. And I guess I see it. I see it every day with my daughter. She is she knows how to push our buttons. Golly, and she doesn't do it intentionally. She thinks she's an adult. And she acts like she just does things. And I'm like, you can't do that. And she's like, yeah, I can. And you're like, no, you can't. I'm the adult. You're not. And she'll just defiantly do it, right? I mean, yesterday, what was it? she was touching my phone. It was on the counter. She was touching. I said, don't touch my phone. And then she looked at me and she just threw it across the room. I picked her up and I took her into the bedroom. And usually I'll set her down and I'll talk to her about what she's done wrong. She knew what she did wrong. little corporal punishment. It's good. I can see it. I can see it. It's slow, but I can see she's starting to understand that I'm the parent and she's the child. Because up until this point, she's thought she was equal to mom and dad. And she is in her personhood. She is, but not in authority. Yesterday we lost a fish and she was falling apart. I mean, she was just bawling. She's like, I'll miss his beautiful sparkly skin. And she was just bawling. And I said, well, you know, we can go bury him in the garden. She's like, no, we can't put him in the dirt. Fish don't like dirt. And I was like, well, I guess we could flush him down the toilet. She's like, no, he doesn't like sewer water. I was like, golly. And Mary goes, well, what about Grandma's pond? She goes, yes, we could put him at Grandma's pond. So we had a little little fish burial at sea at Grandma's pond. Then went out afterwards and got another fish to replace it. So easily, she's already forgotten about the dead fish and on to the new fish. So it's just, I see myself in her. It's so funny because we get mad, but then I'm like, oh, that's me. That's me with God. It's hilarious. On that note, it's fun to see God maturing me. I get these things that God will tell me to do something. I'm like, well, God, that means I'm going to have to die more to myself. And he's like, that's right. And I'm like, ah. But I know that you'll bless me anyways. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And it's good. It's good to just let God. God's deal is always much more exciting than the world's deal. It doesn't seem it because we're in our mind and in our flesh and we haven't let go of things. But when we start letting go of things, we realize. And that's, so the thing is with our flesh, when our flesh realizes that the other thing is better, it'll start to give in more. It'll go, all right, yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Anyways, hallelujah. I'm going to keep going. And after these things, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Sin no more, that worse things happen to you. And I think a lot of people would think that was talking about, you know, that you get sick again or that whatever. It was just talking about, don't sin because, you know, then you're going to go to hell. So, which, you know, he hadn't died yet. So, but it's like, it's a practical thing and a spiritual thing. Again, my whole life I've seen God as practical, and I'm starting to see his spiritual side. And I've always wanted to see his spiritual side, but again, it scared me because that's sort of, you know, weird. And, you know, it's like you go to churches, and we went to a church one time, and there was a lady doing interpretive dance on the stage. I don't know if she was in the flesh or if she was in the spirit. It was weird to me, and I didn't like it. I don't know her heart. God knows her heart. To me, it was just weird. So please don't anybody do any of that here. It's, you know, again, it's a heart thing. Sin no more, that worse things happen to you. Because, I mean, what's the sin keeps us from God, and that means, you know, I mean, the worst thing that could ever happen to you is you spend eternity apart from God. It was funny, Mom sent a little video around, I think she posted it on Facebook, and it was this little girl who is an actress, and she had a little testimony, and it was like, and I've been seeing this, God has been showing me this, Jesus did a lot of things in parables. And I noticed that when you get a person in the mindset, and then you tell them a hard truth, they can receive it because their mind is already geared to what you're saying. And her story was, I'm at my house and I invite a friend over and we're having a good time. And I realize the dog needs to go out in the backyard and do its thing. And so I go down and I open the door and there's a snake there. And then I go, I'm not going to go out in the backyard because there's a snake there. And so you go upstairs and then you get up there and your friend is like, hey, I think I'm going to go in the backyard too. And you don't tell your friend about the snake. And then your friend goes out in the backyard and they get bitten by the snake. And then they come back up and they're like, hey, why didn't you tell me about the snake? And you go, well, you know, I just let you make your own decisions. And so, so you tell that story. And that story, you know, and it makes sense to you. Yeah, why wouldn't you tell them about the snake? And then she was saying, well, that's my whole thing is I witness to people. And they go, why are you beating me up with God? And she's like, I'm not. I'm just telling you there's a snake in the backyard. Watch out for him. And after I tell you that, you can make your own decision. You can still go in the backyard with the snake. Or you cannot. And it's like, I'm seeing that, because I like things very straight. Just whatever it is, just come up to me and tell me. That's the way I like it. Some people can't handle that. And I actually, in the past, I couldn't. I didn't want it. I didn't like confrontation. Now it doesn't bother me. It's like, because I know that if you just go and you get it over with, it's better. You know, you repair those relationships. You help somebody. It's just quicker, faster, easier, better in the long run. You know, if you beat around the bush, then you worry and it's hard. You make it hard on yourself. So it's like with the world. Just go and just tell them, hey, there's a snake. It's the devil, and he's trying to attack you. And I'm just letting you know. You can let him attack you. That's you know, I'm not pushing this on you. I'm just letting you know. So it's good. I mean, I have a hard time. You know, I don't. A lot of people do the. My sister always says I talk about the Baptists and not to talk about the Baptists. Sorry, Kirsten. But they just go out and they just talk to everybody. They go out in the street. I mean, a lot of churches do that. They just go out in the street and they just, you know, you need to know God. And they just, and I don't think that's the deal. I think the deal is when you're out somewhere, God will say, go talk to that person or go talk to that person. And that happens because you're in the Word and you're with God and you're spending time with God and you're in the Spirit and the Spirit tells you who to talk to. I think you can offend a lot of people the other way and then they think Christians are idiots and then they run. I can think of things in my life that people have said things to me and have affected me my entire life and have changed my perspective. And it's like, had they not said that to me, I don't think I would have had that mentality, things that I like or hate because somebody said something. So it's like, it's always good to seek God and not just, you know, go and throw stuff everywhere. Shotgun blasting is what they call it. You know, just go out and you just pray for everybody to get healed. Some people will and some people won't. I'm like, yeah, but what about the guy who didn't get healed? Now he's going to go, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I get healed? Did I not have enough faith? Does God hate me? Is God evil? You know, he doesn't understand why he didn't get healed. It's because God didn't tell you to go pray for that person. You know, God, I don't know. This could be me again in my head. I keep saying I want my eyes to be healed, and God's like, well, I want somebody else to do that so I get the glory, you know, not just you yourself praying for your eyes to be healed. And I'm like, okay, hallelujah. So that's either me in my head or that's God said that to me. But that's why we gotta be able to hear God's voice. And it's, it was something that I realized, because something that had always bothered me, I talked about this on Monday night. Something that always bothered me was I knew we were saved. Jesus died on the cross, covered all our sins, and yet the Bible says every day to, you know, ask forgiveness for your sins. Well, that's dumb. We're already saved. Why are you asking forgiveness for your sins? They're already covered. But the answer to that is relationship. I know that if I sin against my wife still loves me. I should still go up to my wife and ask her forgiveness for sinning against her. She's not going to stop loving me. The fact that we got married and worked together forever, it's not going to stop that. But that's why every day, you know, when you ask, because you want to get back in relationship with Jesus, and that's why you just say, hey, sorry for that. Because you want to be in communion with God. So, I don't know if that makes sense. And the man went away and told the Jews that Jesus is the one making him well. And because of this, the Jews persecuted Jesus and lusted to kill him because he did these things on the Sabbath. I still think that's funny that they're mad at him for healing somebody on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father works until now, and I work. Because of this, therefore, the Jews lusted more to kill him, not only that he broke the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. And then Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son is not able to do anything of himself except what he may see the Father doing. And that's the one scripture that I pray about so much. And I'm like, God, what does that mean? What does that mean? You see what God is doing. Does that mean you see in your mind? Does that mean God gives you visions? Does that mean He tells you? I mean, He says, I only do what I see the Father in heaven doing. That's what I'm saying. When you go up and you pray for somebody and God didn't tell you to pray for them, it's like Jesus said, He walked into the pool of Bethesda and there was hundreds of people there that were sick and He only prayed for one guy and then He left. Does that mean He didn't care for the rest of the people? No. It just means that's God. Jesus saw God in heaven, said, go pray for that guy and then leave. And so that's what He did. So that this scripture that says, that's what I want to know. I want to go, God, how do I see what You want me to do? How what is it that Jesus, I'm still praying about that one. And when I find an answer to that, I'll let you guys know. If you guys know, let me know. Because that to me is precious. I mean, that's what I want. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son is not able to do anything of Him from Himself, except that He may see the Father doing. For whatever that one does, that one, being God, does, these things also the Son does, the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows to Him all things which He does, and He will show Him greater works than these in order that you may marvel. For even as the Father raises the dead and gives life, also the Son gives life to whomever He wills. So remember, for the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. The one not honoring the Son does not honor the Father who has sent Him. Truly I say to you, the one who hears My word and believes the one who has sent Me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment but passes out of death into life. So He's already telling us what's going to be happening. You know, if you believe in Me, you'll pass out of death. So when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, you surely die. You know, you ate of the fruit, now you surely die. And He didn't mean literally right then. He meant you entered into sin, and now sin is your master. Satan is, you know, the ruler. And then when you trust in God, see, I mean, it's like when Jesus went down into hell, because you're like, what happened to all the people that believed in God before, He came and died on the cross? He went down into hell. He said, hey, whoever's on with Me, come on, let's go. And He took the keys of hell with Him. So I think my point is, people are always saying with the Old Testament and the New Testament, they're different. It's like, no, they're one and the same. It's just after Jesus came, you know, now we can have the Holy Spirit in us full time. Because Jesus, God would put the Holy Spirit in people, you know, whether it be Elijah or Elisha or Moses or David, or you remember Saul. It was in Saul for a while, and then Saul, you know, did blasphemy, and then so we went out. It's like now that God came and He died on the cross and He shed His blood, now He's in all of us all the time once we ask God into our heart. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the one who hears My word and believes the one who has sent Me has everlasting life and does not come into judgment and has passed out of death unto life. Truly, truly, I say to you that an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the one hearing will live. For even as the Father has life in Himself, so He also gives to the Son to have life in Himself. And He also gave authority to Him to execute judgment, so that He is the Son of Man. And not marvel at this, for an hour is coming at which all these things in the tombs will hear His voice, and they will come out, and the ones having done good into a resurrection of life, and the ones having practiced evil into a resurrection of judgment. So good means we just trusted God. It doesn't mean we did good, because none is good, no, not one. It just means we trusted God, we trusted Jesus, and He's our goodness. Because He was perfect, and we all know that. Nothing I am able to do from myself, just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, for I do not seek my will, but the will of the one sending me, the Father. And that's it. I mean, that's what God's been opening in my life, is seeing people the way He sees them. Because as a human, when like people come after me, I just immediately go after them. And instead, I have to get past that, and I go, no, what is in their life that's causing them to hate God or to lash out at me, and to love them and to pray for them and to, because I mean, I love, like, you guys know, I love confrontation on Facebook. I just love it. I love, please come after me. But God is teaching me to go past that, because that's human, and I have to see people through God, not through human. God wants everyone to come to heaven, to be with Him in heaven, and I mean, to be His bride, even. I mean, someone said, the whole reason the universe was created was for Jesus to have a bride. That's the whole reason the universe was created, was for Jesus to have a bride. Because, you know, I mean, the world says, well, what's the meaning of life? The meaning of life was to either be the bride or not be the bride. Do you want to, I mean, God is offering you this gift. Hey, I want you to marry my son. And I'll take care of everything. I'll make sure that your dress is ready, and that, you know, that we're going to build a house. And you can take it or not take it. I mean, God, and He gives us the free will. That's what's so powerful, you know, someone said to me, he goes, this is stories. I keep seeing this keeps happening to me over and over again. People will use stories and to make a point. And he said, if a man falls in love with a woman, but the woman doesn't love the man, and the man says, too bad, you have to marry me, you know, that's awful. And you go, well, yeah, that's awful. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus says, I love you. And if you say, I don't love you, Jesus isn't going to say, sorry, too bad, you have to marry me. That Jesus is saying, I give you that free will to either choose me or not choose me. I mean, I can't imagine. I always say to people, when I get into arguments with people, I go, well, if I'm wrong, so be it. And so I lived a good life. But if you're wrong, it's going to be awful. So you might as well come over to my side. Even if you don't mean it at first, you're going to start to mean it, because you're going to see who God is and see how much He loves you. Come on in, and, you know, it's like, I don't see how somebody could go, well, that sound, you know, that's wicked or evil. Or like, no, I'm telling you that you can be happy and full of joy and peace and in all your problems, you know, and it's exciting. Like Jeff was saying, it's exciting to be a Christian. It's not just peaceful and joy. It's exciting. I'm excited. I always wanted to be excited to talk to God every day. I didn't know if it would ever happen. And I can truly say I'm excited to talk to God every day now. It's fun. What are you going to show me, God? Anyway, hallelujah. It's good. Being a Christian is amazing, and we should want to shout it from the rooftops. People are going to hate us. People will persecute us. Good. The Bible said it's going to happen. Who cares? We already have everything. But the one sending me, the Father, nothing am I able to do from myself, just as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, for I do not seek my will, but the will of the one sending me, the Father. If I witness concerning myself, my witness is not true. It is another that witnesses concerning me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed concerning me is true. You have sent John, and he has testified the truth, but I do not receive witness from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. The one was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing to exalt in his light for an hour. But I have a greater witness than John's for the works which the Father has given me, that I should finish them. The works which I do themselves witness concerning me, and the Father has sent me, and the Father is sending me, and he sending me has himself become witness concerning me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor have you seen his form. And you do not have his words abiding in you, for he whom that one sent, you do not believe this one. So it's like, there's so many things that point to God. I always like the evolution is always the funniest one to me. It's like people are like, the guy that came up with the idea of evolution, it was just a short time ago, and the other idea has been around for forever. And it's like, how could you believe that? It's like, there's no evidence. It's like, well, they're like, well, carbon dating. And you're like, no, this carbon dating says this dinosaur is 1 million years old, but the half-life of carbon is only 5,000 years. So there's no way, you know, it's scientifically impossible. And so like you can say it in God terms, you can say it in science terms, and they still just hate God enough to say, well, no, it's millions. There's no way it could happen. It's like, I don't understand how God's been around for forever. I don't understand that. It hurts my head. If I think about it long enough, it literally hurts my head to think about the fact that God has never not been. To say that the world is 1 million years old, it's like, no, it's funny, because the one thing they'll say is, it's interesting if you talk to scientists who go, yeah, I guess evolution isn't true, because it's weird how all the animals in the fossil record all showed up at the same time. It's like, wow. And how do you still believe in millions of years if all the animals showed up at one time? And wouldn't it be obvious that God made the animals if they all just showed up at one time? It's like, but again, they don't want to give credence to God, because that's silly. You know, it's silly to believe in some thing up in somewhere that you can't see or hear or whatever. It's like, yeah, because you don't ask. Just ask. He'll find you. He'll talk to you. It's fun to hear from God. It's fun to have God talk to you. It's hard because sometimes you think it's God and it's just you being dumb. But God will confirm it. It's what's awesome is when God talks to you and then three other people say the same thing to you. You're like, thank you, Jesus, that's a confirmation. Because it's just weird. I mean, like, you'll read a scripture and then you'll hear a guy on the radio say the same scripture, and then you'll talk to a brother and they're like, yeah, I was reading the scripture. And you're like, okay, thank you, God. Because we're full of doubt. You're like, was that me? Or me being dumb? Or was that you, God? And it's true, because we do, you know, because we don't want to be, in a flesh sense, you don't want to be foolish, but in a spiritual sense, you don't want to lead somebody down the wrong path. You know, you don't want to say something that's blasphemous and then have them change their whole life because of what you said, and then they, you know, end up destroying themselves. I mean, that, you know, that's what, you know, the Bible says, you know, pastors, there's a big burden on them to tell the truth. Don't lead people astray. I could go into the whole thing. I started watching this one fellow, and he was talking about a preacher who says the Bible's not important anymore. I'm like, and he's a preacher. He has probably like 40,000 people in his church. I'm like, how do you say the Bible's not important anymore? It's like everything. It's like it's the Word of God. Yeah, but you just make up your own truth from what you feel God is saying. I'm like, wow. It's like, that's crazy. So, I mean, we're getting, anyway, hallelujah, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail. You search the scriptures, for you think in them is everlasting life. And it's true. I mean, that's, life is here. It's in our heart because God is in us. There is life in this word, but it's because it points us to God, not because it's here in the scriptures. It just points us to God. If you had a relationship, that's why the scriptures come alive to someone who has a relationship with God. You want to seek God, the scriptures come alive. I mean, every time you read it, there's something new. God shows you a deeper and deeper and deeper meaning each time as you grow. Again, that scares me because you don't want it to be something weird. You want it to be real. But it's fun because God prepares you. He takes you through stuff. And then the next time you read it, it's not weird. You're like, oh, I get that. I get that. That does make sense. And I see why before it looked weird to me, and now it makes complete sense. And they are the ones witnessing concerning me, and you are not... Let me go back a little bit. So the scriptures. The scriptures are the ones witnessing concerning me, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you that you do not have love of God in yourselves. I have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name and will receive that one, how are you able to believe? So he's talking about John. How are you able to believe you are receiving glory from one another, and glory which is from only God you do not seek? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one accusing you, and that's Moses, in whom you have hoped. Because if you don't have Jesus, then you need the law, and we can't be perfect. So there's two ways to get to heaven: be perfect or Jesus. God said, if you do the law, you can get into heaven. And there's only one person that ever did the law. So there's only one way to get into heaven, and that's Jesus. Moses, in whom you have hoped. For if you were believing Moses, you would have then believed me, for that one wrote concerning me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So that the New Testament and the Old Testament are one and the same. They both talk about Jesus. They both point to God's grace and love and mercy, and how much he loves us, and and we're the bride. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about us being the bride. And that's exciting, because a lot of times we just think salvation. Salvation is just the step to being the bride. You don't stop at the cross, you go through the cross. I don't know if any of that made sense. It sounded very convoluted coming out of my mouth today. So I apologize if it was. God, I love God with all my heart, and I know you guys do too, because you're here. Our light. Yeah, I'm just going to stop there, because I'm just going to start. God is everything to me, and I didn't know if that would ever happen. Because he is in your head, but you don't know if it's going to happen in your life. And when it starts happening, it's like it just starts tearing things apart, and things become muddled, and then he starts putting it back together. And it's beautiful. I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for sending your Son to be the perfect sacrifice, to be that lamb, because you're the shepherd and the lamb. You sent the lamb to die for us so that we could be clean and have a relationship with you, and then be the bride for your Son. Thank you for your desire to show us amazing things, and that you're so patient with us. Keep everybody safe today. Let all their speech be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.